Now, even the plot of The Sword of Shannara is really quite derivative. There's the multiracial quest group, which was so important in Dungeons & Dragons because it became fun that each different person playing the game could have a different racial or professional identity. You could be a halfling or an elf or a dwarf, or you could be a magic user or a cleric or a thief. That idea obviously comes from the Fellowship, where the nine walkers, Gandalf and company, each have their own different talents that they contribute. Well, it's the same thing for Dungeons & Dragons, and it's the same thing for Terry Brooks, somewhat The Chronicles of Thomas Covenant, and many, many, many other books that have this fellowship that goes off alone. There's also the idea of the large geopolitical concerns going on, the great wars generated by the Warlock Lord, simultaneously with the individual quest, and even to the point where Shay, the real hero, the Frodo figure, gets separated from everyone else, even separated from the Sam figure, in this case, and goes off alone, and we find some companions on the way, and so forth. There's a battle in the Druid Citadel in which the wizard seems to be lost, and then he comes back, just like Gandalf with the Balrog. And then later on, there's a travel through what are essentially the Mines of Moria, though this time called the Tombs of the Kings. But in this case, the wizard isn't lost at the end. It's Shay, the Frodo character, who gets swept away from everyone else. But I will say that once Terry Brooks wrote all the Tolkien out of his system, he was able to write subsequent books that were more original and in some ways more interesting than The Sword of Shannara. Now, this list of sequels has gone on and on and on. It's still going on today. The last time I checked, there were 14 books that were some ways sequels, prequels, side stories, and so forth to The Sword of Shannara. There's been a very successful franchise for Terry Brooks, though there's never been a movie, which is interesting. But Brooks's later books, and I'll particularly single out the Elfstones of Shannara here, became much more original. In the Elfstones, his big gimmick is that there had been these horrible demons that had been exiled from the world, and the only way that they're kept out is by this magical tree called the Elkris. And the gimmick is that every certain number of years, the Elkris dies, and a beautiful, innocent elf maiden has to become the tree. So there's that sacrificial idea, individual sacrifice, except in this case, it's not just that you have to have your finger bitten off by Gollum, but you really have to sacrifice yourself. There's a little love story, and though it gets really tedious after a while, there's real resistance by the main character in the Elfstones to using the magical Elfstones. He doesn't like using them. He feels that they're changing or hurting something in him. And it's this resistance to using the magic that Tolkien doesn't really have in there. The characters who have magic use it. The characters who don't, don't. That really sets the stage for what's coming up next, which is The Chronicles of Thomas Covenant. But in both cases, the resistance to using the magic makes the main characters much more modernistic heroes, makes them more reluctant, and makes them a little bit less scary than Aragorn would be if he were brought into our real world. I want to go over this idea a little bit more because it's so well brought out by the movies of The Lord of the Rings, and also because I talked about it briefly beforehand.